A brief history of the Holy Roman Empire. Otto becomes the Holy Roman Emperor. Now, Otto, whose first wife had passed away, married Adelaide and set out to force Berengar into subservience. His first expedition in Italy was successful, as Berengar was easily subjected and forced to render an insincere oath of loyalty to Otto. By this time, it had become obvious that the empire was in desperate need of a good leader to fill the vacuum created by the fall of the Carolingian dynasty. Pope Agapetus II, with the backing of the people, offered to make Otto the emperor. Of all Rome, only Alberic II objected, doubtless still aspiring to become emperor himself. Alberic II virulently opposed the coronation of Otto. The point became mute, however, as Otto heard that his own son, Lindulf, was trying to usurp the German throne. Otto graciously accepted the title as King of the Lombards and left for Germany without accepting the imperial title. Upon his return to Germany, Otto took up arms and crushed the now defiant son. The war continued for some years until the Magyars again invaded Germany in 954 AD. Lindulf was overwhelmed and acquiesced to his father, who was now able to do what Lindulf could not. Otto concentrated his forces on the Magyars, and at the Battle of Lechfeld, the Magyars were vanquished. So severe was their defeat that the Magyars never again invaded Germany, even at the request of Pope John XII, who would later try to usurp Otto. This same pope, however, was currently in need of an ally, and it was he who was soon to crown Otto Holy Roman Emperor. In the meantime, Otto succeeded in fortifying and strengthening Germany's borders and establishing peace in Germany by 960 AD. His successes furthered his own fame, and when he was again called to Italy, there was not one who would oppose his coronation. Shortly before the death of Alberic II, he had his own son named Pope. This young Octavian was only 18 years old, and he was selected in 955 AD and changed his name to Pope John XII. When Alberic II passed away, Octavian took the secular arm of the government in hand. He continued to call himself Octavian as civil leader, but John XII as Pope. He was often seen wearing full military garb and regalia and dressed himself in armor as well as pontifical robes. He is notorious one of the most vile and despicable pontiffs in Roman Catholic history. He considered his role as pope more of a joke than a sacred responsibility, and once consecrated a priest in a stable. He irreverently invoked pagan gods and was even accused of Satanism, although it is likely that these were more sardonic jokes to Octavian than sincere invocations. Still worse were crimes few could prove, but which most of all heard. Octavian, John XII, was known to rape young women who went to the Holy City on pilgrimage, as well as crimes of murder, castration of a priest, sleeping with his own mother and sisters, and arson. Some may doubt these accusations, but the evidence is as solid as in any distant past. Yet none can contest that the same Pope John XII turned the papal palace into a brothel of prostitutes. Most heard of this immaturity and sexual liaison by word of the most dark side of his destitute lifestyle had not reached the ears of King Otto when the young pope requested Otto return to put down a rebellious Berengar in 962. Upon assuming the civil authority, Octavian was challenged by Berengar II. Octavian, John XII, had no loyalty to Otto, but he needed Otto's strong arm to secure his position. Having been sent a plea for help, Otto the king came and subjected the rebellious Berengar in little time. Too long had passed since a true emperor sat on the throne. Otto had proven his capabilities over the whole empire, and it was to whom they called to come and help when he was needed. By the agreement of all, Otto was to be named Holy Roman Emperor. Otto's strong leadership was what the empire desperately needed, and in 962, Pope John XII obliged and crowned Otto Emperor of the Holy Roman Empire. Following the coronation, Otto put into writing a pact which consolidated the relationship between the emperor and the pope that had been unspoken but accepted throughout the Middle Ages. It was agreed that only the pope could crown the emperor, but the emperor must be represented at all papal elections. Thus the two were, in theory, equal but separate entities. A sort of balance of power was decreed between civil and spiritual leaders of the empire. Nevertheless, John XII still sought civil power for himself. No sooner had Otto, the newly crowned emperor of Rome, left for East Franconia, Germany, than Octavian John XII began to conspire against him. In fact, John XII's conspiracy even involved the very man whom he had sought to crush with Otto's help, Baron Gerhard II. John XII had hoped to eliminate opposing civil authorities in Italy, but seeing that Otto was now the supreme authority by John's own hand, he turned to his former enemy, Berengar, and even dispatched a letter to the Magyar tribes east of Germany, requesting that they invade eastern Franconia just to keep Otto preoccupied. The Magyars, however, had no taste for battle with Otto. They yielded to his supremacy, and when Otto heard of John's plot, he returned to Italy only to find the gates of Rome closed. Despite the Roman populace's apparent support for the Pope, the people knew they could not withstand Otto's army. If he wished to invade, so the gates were finally opened, and Otto held a synod to review charges against the Pope. When Otto heard the charges, he found them hard to believe and often took the side of the young boy by saying, "He's just a boy." As more evidence was presented, however, it became obvious that the Pope was no mere child, but a beast. Strangely enough, the accusations at the synod concentrated not on the charges of rape and murder, but on improper behavior such as hunting. This was partly because the synod wanted only hard evidence, but it was ironic, for like various trials, the serious crimes were neglected for lack of proper proof, while insignificant charges were hurled more venomously. One is almost amused to read that hunting was among the most serious charges leveled against John XII. When Otto heard all the charges, he showed amazing grace and offered the Pope a chance to respond to the accusations or repent and reform. Otto included the charges of murder, incest, perjury, and sacrilege in his letter. But the Pope responded by sending back a terse response written in terrible Latin, threatening to excommunicate him. Otto then sent a messenger asking the Pope one final time, "Reform your morals and your Latin." The messenger, however, was unable to find the Pope, for he'd fled Rome, and along with many valuable vessels and relics from the Church of the Lateran. With the Pope fleeing Rome, it was up to Otto to choose a new Pope. He carefully examined the situation and wisely decided that the job would be best left to a devout layman. The papacy had become so debased over the years that selecting one of John XII's bishops would doubtless only feed the fire. A young layman was chosen to become Pope Leo VII. Although this move was best for Rome and the office of the Holy See, it did not sit well with the people of Rome. Rome had once been masters of the world, and masters tend to become proud. So proud had the Romans become that they themselves allowed the government and the church around them to become base. Such corruption does not occur without the apathy of the people, and the very citizens of Rome had lost their dignity for arrogant pride. When they saw that the emperor had selected a mere layman without the people's consent, they grew restless. Although the people never offered an objection to the sham elections of Mazarosa's son, nor Albrecht's son, nor countless other puppets of consuls and kings, they became irate at having a foreigner choose their pope. John XII soon returned with Berengar's help and started yet another uprising. John XII wreaked revenge on those who had testified against him, mutilating some, executing others. This short-lived reign of terror was squelched by troops loyal to Otto. This is the fourth time that Otto had suppressed tyranny in Rome. He now had Berengar II brought to Germany, where he could keep a close, watchful eye on him. Still, Otto did not punish John XII, for he had fallen victim of his own sins when he was murdered by an irate husband who caught him with his wife. Unfortunately, Otto would be needed a fifth time, for the people of Rome would again prove that corruption in government is a symptom of a debased population. When Leo VII died, another pope was elected by Otto's will. This John XIII committed no rapes or murders, but brought the wrath of the people because he had been chosen by a foreigner. The people again rebelled, and they were again vanquished. This time Otto had lost patience. He had shown great mercy numerous times. Mercy to his younger brother, mercy to rebellious son, mercy to Berengar three times, and mercy to John XII, who Otto had given numerous chances to repent. Now Otto executed several senators and banished the consuls. He and his pope blinded many persons as punishment and executed thousands. Italy would have to learn submission. He decided to take up residence in Italy to ensure the loyalty of the populace, where he would remain for almost a decade, leaving for home only shortly before his death. Again, another terrible situation in Rome with really terrible popes. if you really want to call them that, not religious leaders, just people looking to make their own way and money. But Otto finally straightens them all out. Now the sources for this is Religion and the Holy Roman Empire by Ferguson, Before France and Germany by Gary, The Oxford History of Medieval Europe by Holmes, The Papal Encyclopedia by Bunsen, The Capetian Kings of France, 987 to 1328 by Butler and Adams, French History, Volume 1 by Guizot, Barbarian Invasions by Delbruck, Early Germans by Todd, and The Rise and Fall of the Holy Roman Empire by Criswell. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.